Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Freaks and Geeks. I'm your host, April, and if you're just now joining us, or hey, even if this isn't your first time, head on over to Facebook and give us a like. We love talking to our listeners and fellow geeks. Tonight, I'm joined, as always, by my Anatolian ancient astronaut, Carrie.
Hello, hello.
My Stone Age superstar, Stacy.
Superstar. Hey, everyone.
And the man with the voice smoother than the desert sands themselves, Christopher.
Is that an insult?
Yeah, because desert sands are kind of rough.
I mean,
I said smoother than the desert sands.
That's true.
Smoother than Arabian Night. How's that?
Well, I mean, Mercury being in retrograde and a full moon, you know, some freaky shit's happening.
Oh, yeah. Forget all that.
Yep. For fucking sure. Okay. So tonight we are going to roll back the sands of time and travel back into ancient human history. When we think 12,000 years ago and humans, what comes to mind? For many, it's people living simple, nomadic lifestyles, hunting and gathering everything, with little more than mock shelters built from animal skins to help them warm. But is that truly how humans lived some 12,000 years ago? From much of the world, yes, that actually is precisely what they mean. It's the pre-pottery Neolithic era being one where hunter-gatherer nomadic lifestyles were still commonplace. And, you know, for those unaware, pre-pottery Neolithic era refers to what is commonly known as the New Stone Age.
Is that when they had banging music?
Not quite.
It's when the Rolling Stones formed.
Is that the
Flintstones era? Is that like Betty and Barney and
Keith Richards?
Well, no, that's with dinosaurs.
Yeah, that show, now that you think about it, is all messed up.
It is, yes. The final division of the Stone Age, where the first developments in farming began to appear among fledgling societies. So what does all this matter in relation to this week's segment? Well, we've decided to delve back, way back, nearly 12,000 years ago, and explore the significance of what is very likely the oldest temple site known to modern man.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
12,000 years in the past, obviously, what the world looks like is going to be much different. Were land masses much closer together to allow people to be a lot more nomadic, or can we?
Yeah, are we talking like Pangaea, or you know?
I think Pangaea is like way back there. But I would like to think that maybe like they were like still like closer than they are now.
They were relatively about where they are now.
Really?
Yeah.
I know they're not moving much.
Well, I don't know. Like, I think of, like, supercontinents at this point, but I guess I have to go way, way older than that to get to that point.
Just waiting for the day where all the continents assemble again, form Earth.
Well, there
Voltron.
Was just another Pangaea. There was just another earthquake. There was just another earthquake in the Bay Area, so in
what,
California.
Today?
So. Yeah, so to all of our listeners out in California, I hope everybody's okay. I know the earth has been shaken out there quite a bit.
I mean, it's the precursor to the rave that's going to happen. Just getting ready.
Oh, you mean the Area 51 raid?
Yeah.
It's time.
I think it's time for a superquake.
I mean,
that would be so scary.
Yeah, we are overdue. We're like 250 years overdue.
What'd you say?
Superquake.
A superquake?
Yeah, it's anything that's, I think, 7.5 or above.
Well, I mean, they had a 7.7.
Oh, maybe. Hold on. Hold on. Maybe I'm not right.
I would think a super quick would be anything over 10. I think 10 is like the highest they go on the Richter.
I think you're right. I think 10 is the highest they go. What was that one that hit out in Southeast Asia that had the huge tsunami? That one was like an 8.5 or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, that one was. Yeah, I think that was in the eight, the high eights. Although, funny enough, it's not the earthquake that caused the most damage.
Right? The earth is moving, folks.
Well, I mean, it's a frisbee. It's a flat earth, so what are we worrying about?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, NASA's just guarding the Arctic circles.
It's where the aliens are.
Yeah. Oh, I go to Area 51, go to the Arctic circles. That's where they're being kept.
Yeah. What is in Antarctica?
We may never know.
So,
Superman's home.
I'm seeing that that it's a magnitude. So they're talking about what they think is going to happen, and it's these scientists, physicists that are talking about what's going to happen, and they're saying that a magnitude 8 earthquake is most likely going to strike Los Angeles, and California will rupture the San Andreas fault line. California is overdue for a catastrophic earthquake unlike any seismic activity seen in recent years. So they're talking about a magnitude 8 as if it's a catastrophic.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain the one that just hit not that long ago was a 7.7. But I mean, I'm trying to think of how we could tie earthquakes to the pre-pottery Neolithic era. They had earthquakes too.
I was just gonna say, I think I googled superquake, and I much rather prefer this terminology is mega thrust. Earthquake.
Is that from the subduction zone?
No, it's from Wikipedia.
No, but like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I see the subduction zone. Yes.
Whoever
yes.
named these was insanely high or insanely aroused,
or both.
Or both.
So the highest we had was a 7.1 on July 5th. Sorry.
Well, fuck me. I was wrong.
That was in California.
I apologize.
Yeah, that was in California.
Yeah, I have family that live out there that live, you know, a pretty good distance away, and they felt it. They said the earth was definitely rolling.
Rocking and rolling.
Well, I mean, when you
yeah, they were rocking
biscuit,
and rolling.
That's what happens.
I also have an answer for you about whether earthquakes affected what we're talking about tonight. And actually... Cool. Between 10 and around 10,000 BC, betwixt around 12,000 years ago, the Atlantic plate between Europe and North America dropped suddenly, which raised South America above sea level.
Huh.
So it was below sea level before?
Yes.
Hmm.
I wonder what caused it to drop. Did it hit puberty?
The
plate's moving, likely. It's probably like one of those ones that's like a subduction where the one plate's going underneath the other, and then finally when the pressure gets too much, it flips up.
Can you imagine seeing that shit happen? Like being in South America and all of a sudden your like ears are popping because you're elevated however many feet because the whole continent has just shifted.
So I imagine that they thought they pissed off the gods or pleased the gods.
Too much mezcal.
Well, to tie it in for you, 12,000 years ago was the end of the Great Great Ice Age, and it's when people would have crossed from Siberia across the Bering Strait into North America. So all of this is happening at the same time. So likely there wasn't anybody living in South America before it was raised up above sea level.
Imagine
it would have been under the ocean.
You really have to want to get somewhere.
Well, it was over the course of generations.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and it was it was a land bridge, so I mean, it wasn't like, you know.
I can see Russia from my house.
Okay, Sarah.
And something else interesting, Stacy, that you might find interesting is this plate dropping caused a great flood.
Oh shit.
Oh shit.
We dodged it. We dodged an ELE, babe.
You're saying this was the big flood for
the big flood. Yes.
The great flood.
The biggest
possibly.
Of the flood.
The biggest of the floods. The floodiest of the floods.
Yep. The earth got so wet.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Well, back to our topic for the night.
That's what we call a showstopper.
Yeah.
gotta turn the crank and start it back up. So nestled in southeastern Anatolia, which is a region of Turkey, rests one of, if not the oldest example of humanity's transition from hunter-gatherer lifestyles to a semi-permanent living society, Göbekli Tepe. Its name is Turkish for Potbelly Hill. Göbekli Tepe sits at 760 meters above sea level and is roughly 300 meters in diameter. Carbon dating reveals that structures located within the site's archaeological layer date back to roughly 9,000 BCE. However, academic theorists have suggested the site was likely in use as a spiritual location as far back as 11,000 BCE or maybe even older. So what does this mean? In short, it means that the oldest of Göbekli Tepe's structures predate pottery, metallurgy, writing, the wheel, and even the Neolithic Revolution itself.
I have never heard of this place.
It's amazing.
I've never heard of it either. I find this whole episode to be fascinating.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to put it on the destination location. It's on the list.
There's probably some really good food over there, too. Just saying. Mm-hmm.
Turkish delight?
Yes. All right. So, but how has all this happened, right? So when we stop and think about it, Göbekli Tepe's age would mean it came into existence well before the creation of any real tools or agricultural methods. So if we were watching a certain television channel's show, this is where a well-known wild-haired theorist would hold up his hands and look at all of us through half-lidded eyes before unironically and dramatically saying, yep, you guessed it. April, you want to say it?
Oh, Jesus.
Is such a thing possible?
Is aliens. Such a thing? Aliens. Fucking aliens.
Betty and Barney Hill. Huh?
I don't think Betty and Barney Hill were on.
I mean, we're about to find out.
Betty Hill, but.
I mean, so now, we're about to find out all about them aliens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. No, of course,
we're
not
live streams.
I hope somebody live streams that because I'm totally going to watch it because you know that, like, shit's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So now, of course, we're not going to be so lazy to make that sort of suggestion right off the bat. We just did. But we will instead delve more into the history surrounding this heritage site because, you know, the history and the facts, that's what we're all about here at Freaks and Geeks. We like to get down and dirty and get right to the root of it.
Yeah, we do like to get down and dirty. One thing that I just realized, the characters from the Flintstone are named Betty and Barney. Do you think that's a coincidence?
You know, when I said that earlier, Chris, that's exactly what I was thinking of. I didn't know if you were gonna catch it and you didn't say anything, but now you did. So I just feel totally justified.
I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, that's interesting.
That is very interesting, isn't it? I need to see April shaking her head.
So archaeologists have estimated that construction of the site and the movement of the pillars within would have required up to 500 people to assist in the extraction of the stone pillars from local quarries. They would have then had to move them the 100 to 500 meters, depending on the final location within the site, to Göbekli Tepe's interior. That is It's a hard word to say.
Think about it as like, go Beckley, like Beckley, West Virginia, go Beckley, and then Tepe, like Flat Tepe. Like yeah.
Country roads take me home.
Oh, Lord. No.
No? Nobody? All right. So no. The pillars within a within are massive, weighing between 10 and 20 metric tons. Is that a proper use of the word?
Sure.
While one within a nearby ancient quarry weighs approximately 550 tons. The construction has led many academics to believe those who built the structure were members of an advanced order, not to be associated to the atypical Neolithic era society. The precise means by which these Neolithic peoples managed the construction remains up for debate, of course, which leaves us a great many questions about the people who constructed each layer of Göbekli Tepe. It's the same people who did Stonehenge.
I was just going to say, so I was looking at the picture of it, and it reminds me a lot of Stonehenge.
I mean, aliens.
Just in how it looks.
What do you think, April?
Yeah. Cool, man.
Don't you think it looks like Stonehenge?
What does it look like? I haven't seen it.
You haven't?
It looks like
a Stonehenge village.
Yeah,
so,
it does. I mean,
there is some similarity to Stonehenge, but it's about 8,000 years older than Stonehenge.
Jesus Christ.
So is this even older than the one that was in the, they discovered a henge, but it was up near like the North Sea. It was like really far up. And it, you know, they had to uncover it over time. So is this one even older than that? This is the oldest, right?
I think so. I mean, judging.
Actually, Sea Henge is even earlier. That's what the one you're talking about. The one in Norfolk?
Right. So would this one be considered a henge? Because it does look like a henge.
I haven't seen it described anywhere as a henge.
It does look like one, though. Like, looking at the pictures, it does look like a henge. Very circular, and, you know, like, as you go through the layers, it starts to get lower and lower in the...
kind of very grid-like pattern to it.
Yeah,
it does.
Like as if you were trying to make a city in city skylines, just make grids.
Well, we say this is pre-pottery Neolithic era. Well, henges are from the Neolithic era, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, I will agree with you.
I don't know. Honestly, I can't really think tonight, so I'm just gonna keep going.
I mean, the thing is, this is all before any kind of writing. It's pre-recorded history, so we don't know very much about any of it.
It could be, yeah. I mean, it could be anything. It could be anything.
Hmm.
It could just be pillars, and there could have been to hold up a roof that we just don't know existed because it's long since vanished.
I like it.
Boom. First discovered during a joint survey conducted by the University of Chicago and Istanbul University, the American archaeologist Peter Benedict found stone tools collected on the surface of the site. However, the depth of the site remained initially undiscovered when Mr. Benedict mistook the tops of the stone slabs as Göbekli Tepe's exterior as grave markers, which I think makes sense. Benedict postulated that the slabs were an overlain Byzantine cemetery left untouched by archaeological community for several decades after. It wasn't until 1994 when Klaus Schmidt of the German Archaeological Institute recognized the site likely held more to it than was originally thought.
Klaus.
And he was right. Good on you, Klaus.
Mm-hmm. I love that name, Klaus.
Schmidt organized his dig team and began excavation of the site, collaborating with the Sunliorfa Museum, revealing the first of the massive T-shaped pillars at Göbekli Tepe's exterior in 1995. Schmidt theorized heavily as to the significance of the site throughout its initial excavation, as more questions were raised the further the site was excavated. The site's plateau consists of four channels, likely the remains of an ancient quarry from which the blocks used in Göbekli Tepe's construction were sourced. On the western side of the plateau, a lion-like figure was found, the first depiction of animals revealed to archaeologists during the dig.
All right, the second layer of excavation wound up raising even more questions than answers, giving Schmidt's archaeological crew a glimpse into a series of small rectangular rooms. The construction method gave archaeologists reason to identify this particular layer of the site as being assigned to pre-pottery Neolithic B, adjoining rectangular rooms that are both windowless and doorless, along with the floors of polished limestone, are reminiscent of Roman terrazzo?
Terrazzo.
Okay. Predating any such empire by thousands of years, carbon dating revealed this second, more elaborate layer of construction revealed via excavation to be anywhere from 8,800 to 8,000 BCE. So, newer.
Damn.
So they put
can I just say how awesome it is that we have our very own dictionary that it does the show with us?
I think, yes, she's amazing.
Not only she's does amazing. She give us the meaning of things, but also the correct pronunciation.
Yeah. I still say, though, Chris, you do way worse at it than I do.
I mean, I'm horrible. let's not kid ourselves. So even deeper into the excavation, circular compounds were discovered, ranging from 10 to 30 meters in diameter, large T-shaped limestone pillars set within the interior walls, which are composed of unworked stone. Thus far, four such structures have been unearthed, though geophysical surveys suggest there's at least 16 more such compounds within the site. Further excavation surrounding the pillars unveiled stone benches decorated with carved animal sculptures, some human...
Dogs are fighting. It's
oh,
fine.
Is that what that was? Some humanoid figures are also depicted in the ancient art scattered throughout the oldest section of Göbekli Tepe's excavation. Some of the floors within this third layer are also reminiscent of Roman terrazzo styling of burnt lime. Carbon dating reveals the construction of these circles have occurred between 9600 to 8800 BCE, though they were, for reasons unknown, eventually backfilled during the Stone Age. Archaeologist and Schmidt himself alike have marveled at the construction since the dig began. However, Schmidt halted excavation at less than 5% completion of the site, meaning to preserve the site to be explored by future generations when archaeological techniques are presumed to have been improved. I assume
so the humanoid figures...
I just
go
assume
ahead,
now they use GPR, ground penetrating radar to see a bunch of this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that probably, they definitely probably have some methods there that are
less
that are
invasive.
Available to them. Yeah.
So that way they're not like just destroying shit as they're digging it up.
Yeah, I will say the humanoid statues that you referred to, the humanoid figures, are really kind of disturbing looking.
Yeah, they're terrifying.
I mean, like, you know, yeah. So
yeah, that's not something I want to see. That's not something I want to dig up.
I mean,
well, and after,
just digging it up and face staring back at you.
Mm-mm, I don't want
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. It doesn't even look like it has like really a nose. I don't know if that's like worn off because of the time.
It's got these huge black eyes.
Maybe people back then didn't have noses.
And it's got a lot of fingers. It's got six. Is that six fingers? It looks like it. It looks like all of its fingers are all the same length. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, I guess it's five, but there's like no thumb.
I mean, it's holding bananas.
I don't think it's holding bananas.
Plantains.
Plantains.
I think that might be its penis.
Oh, man.
Little bits.
Little bits.
I'm pretty sure that's its penis.
I mean, kudos to it.
And I think you can see that the nose was, like, knocked off. Like, I think it definitely had a nose at one point.
Yeah, I can see that. It's got kind of like that Sphinx look going to it. Yeah, that is terrifying, though. Not going to lie. Even with a nose, that'd be terrifying.
Well, and that's the thing. You wonder if that's, like, an accurate representation of humans at the time, or is that just the skill level of their ability to carve?
Looks like Jason Voorhees.
When you don't have the distractions of modern day that we do, I mean, they probably practiced it a lot.
Well, then it should have been really good then, you'd think.
Well, I mean, erosion.
Or they didn't practice it a lot, but since they made a statue of a man holding his dick and balls, then maybe that's what they practiced a lot.
What, holding dick and balls?
Yeah. Or jingling them around. Who knows what they
were
doing.
Or maybe
that
was the statue's name, was Dick and Balls.
Or maybe it was a fertility statue.
This is true.
Oh. It's very true.
Okay. I have a concussion. I'm sorry. Aside from its age alone.
Don't go to sleep.
Aside from its age alone, making it an undeniably important part of history, Göbekli Tepe holds greater significance by merit of how it came into existence and when it did. Why? The method of construction predates previous academic understanding of human societal development. In short, there had been no such discovery of ancient stone working in such a deliberate and intricate fashion as Göbekli Tepe. Ian Hodder of Stanford University is quoted as saying, "Göbekli Tepe changes everything. With regards to previous understanding of how human society developed in construction methods."
Hmm.
Lots of grease.
Well, I mean, it definitely helped move things along.
So when were the pyramids done?
In Egypt.
Where? She said when.
I know
when.
Where.
With Ramsey.
Nope, that's not right either.
I mean, he was there.
Oh, shut down.
There was more than one Ramses. You're thinking of Ramses II. He was Ramses the Great. He lived to be 93 years old. The Great Pyramid at Giza were actually built for Khufu or Cheops, and that was around 2560 BCE.
So this predates that.
Don't fuck
with
her. Is this just coming straight off the top of the dome piece?
Yeah, I mean, I had to look up the date, but I knew it was more recent.
I was gonna say if you're just randomly spitting out like accurate information about who was there in the time period, I mean, why aren't you on Jeopardy?
I'm so in love.
Get on Jeopardy and win some money.
Carrie, I'm in love with you. I'm sorry, I just have to. I'm in love with you.
I'm gonna be more in love with her when she goes on Jeopardy and wins the prize.
Shit, yeah. Who's your number one hoe, girl? That's me. Don't forget.
Yeah, so you need to be in the crowd with that sign.
Oh, I will.
#Hashtag number one hoe.
Oh, I totally would be. I make a glitter shirt and everything.
Yeah, that would be April.
Looks like the price
and
is right in the Jeopardy stands.
I'll be wearing a collar and everything.
That'd be April holding that sign. I'd have the sign that says #Side Piece.
I'll just travel around with a harem of women. And Christopher.
I'm at home with the kids. No, I'd be with the kids. I got responsibilities.
Okay, all right. Just send them all to Christopher.
Yeah, send all the children to me.
Poppy Christopher.
All right. Despite how intricately Göbekli Tepe was constructed, there have been no signs of permanent agriculture present.
meaning that the site would have likely had to have been constructed by hunter-gatherers. The significance in that is that the site itself was both regarded as significant and habitable enough to at least support semi-permanent residency, allowing such a people to sustain themselves with naturally occurring fauna and flora. If these Neolithic construction crews were in fact hunter-gatherers, then the academic understanding of humans' ability to erect complexes throughout history has been overturned. And you know what? Stonehenge was the same way. People didn't live there year-round.
What? Isn't there some confusion as far as what, like, whether it was a calendar or whether it was like a religious site used for ceremonies, or maybe it's a giant-ass cemetery?
Stonehenge is kind of all of those things.
Because they have found bones.
It is a cemetery, yeah, and definitely burials, not just bones thrown to the side. Definitely bones. Has a calendar aspect, and it held some sort of cultural significance, if not religious significance, because large numbers of people traveled there every year and would stay there for a period of time, but lived somewhere else.
But that's not what we're saying about here, though. We're saying here that it's, I mean, a semi-permanent residency. I mean, are we saying that that's only like a couple months out of the year, or
it's like summer home, winter home?
So like a gigantic compound.
Yeah, just going to Florida for the winter.
Yeah,
so this is like a resort.
Snowbirds.
Yeah, yeah, the snowbirds of Turkey.
Right, but like given the area that it's at, I don't think Turkey is really known for its agriculture.
Well, at the time, it wasn't a desert. It became that way because of centuries, thousands of years even, of overly being used for agriculture.
So
right,
basically
the land probably went
the
fallow.
Dust Bowl in America.
Right.
Pretty much exactly that. And in fact, the first domesticated strain of wheat was found at a village that was prehistoric just 20 miles away.
Of Göbekli Tepe?
Yes, 20 miles away. Mm-hmm. And it was about 500 years after Göbekli Tepe's construction.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the side of like it was a place for them to visit, like come to at a certain time, but not stay the entire time. Because I would think that they would have to set up some way of permanent sustainment.
Well, see, and I'm just wondering, what made people not go there anymore. I mean, because if you think about
scorpion
societies. Well, no, I mean, if you think about societies and like how they evolved over time, like, you know, I'm thinking ancient Greece, Rome, things like that. So you have, you know, yeah, you have these ruins in these old places, like places where there's, you know, society has been there for a very long time. But there's also a considerable buildup very close by to, you know, a lot of these places are really old, and, you know, buildings are still in existence and they've been there for a really long time, and they haven't, I mean, could this have been destroyed by wars? Could this have been destroyed by natural, you know, things, or do people just move on, or, you know what I mean? That's what I start to think about when we have these really old structures that we don't know how they were used. We don't know how they were formed. They're seemingly like abandoned. And then, you know, we try to figure out what they were used for and why all that happened. You know what I mean? I'm not familiar with that region or area, so it's not like I can say, oh, yeah, you know, well, that was definitely a place where such and such happened. I'd have to do, like, more research on the surrounding area to see, like, you know, what – but, I mean, is there anything that says, like, what may have happened or why, you know, this was – abandoned, for lack of a better word, if it was a semi-permanent residence and someplace that people went regularly?
So what they think, based on the carvings and the pillars, they're not dominated by edible prey like deer or cattle or sheep. but by menacing creatures, lions, snakes, scorpions, spiders, vultures. So this, you know, cultures after this were more like with farming and fertility, but a theory is that maybe the hunter-gatherers that were using this place were trying to express their fears by building this place, which is, you know, probably a good distance away from where they lived. And one archaeologist, Danielle Stordor, who's from the National Center for Scientific Research in France, said that the big significance is of the vulture carvings. Some cultures have long believed the high-flying carrion birds transported the flesh of the dead up to the heavens. Stordor has found similar symbols at sites from the same era as Göbekli Tepe, just 50 miles away in Syria. She said, you can really see it's the same culture. All the most important symbols are the same. And Schmidt, who I think we talked about earlier, said that he's certain that the secret to what it was used for is buried in the dirt. Over the years there, they have found fragments of human bone in every layer of dirt in the complex. They've dug deep test pits that have shown that the floors of the individual rings are made of hardened limestone. But beneath the floors are more bones. So it's a possibly this is where they took their dead to bury them far out away from where they were living.
Doesn't limestone have some sort of, I don't know if I'm going to use the right word here, so bear with me, like psychokinetic sort of property or something like that? Like, isn't it like where places there are like limestone or something like that have a lot of paranormal activity, or is that, am I thinking of something else?
No, that's right. Limestone allegedly has the ability to absorb and release energy because part of limestone is quartz. And scientifically speaking, not spooky woo-woo speaking, quartz vibrates at the same speed molecularly that human beings do.
Huh.
And the universe as well.
Yeah.
Fascinating. God, I love that show.
Yeah, that's another awesome place. Have y'all ever seen the giant crystal cave in Mexico?
No.
No.
I can't go to Mexico.
I will send you some pictures. It's amazing, and actually it's a danger of falling apart. But it's like super duper old. It's very cool.
Is the problem man made?
I guess to some extent, but it's more that it's getting too hot than like people going in there. It is way below the surface of the earth. It is unbearably hot. If you went in there without a special suit, you would die. People can only spend a short period of time there.
Is it like a gigantic geode?
Basically, it's a cave that is full of these massive crystals. And me trying to say massive crystals doesn't even do it justice. I'll post a picture on the Facebook page of,
yes,
like people next to the crystals. They are bigger than you, like a redwood, a person next to a redwood. But it's a giant crystal.
Wow. Oh, it's really cool. There's so many cool things on this planet. There's so many cool things on this planet. And I'm so afraid to travel. I'll never see them.
That's the miracles of the internet.
Yeah, I'll just see them through my phone. And that'll be good. I'll see them through my phone and drink my water and not get diarrhea. I'm not cut out to be a world traveler. I'll look at things on the internet. I'll be good. Anyways.
Continue.
So these discoveries and their resultant theories have led to preliminary geological surface surveys of nearby hills. The revelation, several stone pillar types akin to those present at Göbekli Tepe in Hamzan.
Hamzan Tepe, Karahan Tepe.
Karahan Tepe, Harbet Suvan Tepesi, Sefer Tepe, and Tazli Tepe. How'd I do?
Good job.
Yay, I get a gold star. Chris, you totally could not have done this.
I was just looking at it and just dreading. I hope I don't have to say
So the little excavation has been conducted at those other sites. Their array and apparently smaller construction footprints have led researchers to believe them to be lesser social ritual gathering places, with Göbekli Tepe as the prime regional center. Despite similarities, none of these secondary sites appear to be quite as old as Göbekli Tepe, potentially indicating that its type of architecture originated at Göbekli, then spread to other locations in the area. So, like, maybe, like, they tried to rebuild or build something similar to the original.
To the other locations. Oh, man. I just like the idea of it's like a virus.
Well, I...
You will build like us.
There's Stonehenge, there's Seahenge, and then there are hundreds of other smaller henges all over the English countryside.
Well, I mean, there's another, like, I think they call it a superhenge that's just, like, right around Stonehenge.
Yeah.
It's like
a superhenge?
I mean, if we're going to look at it as, like, their religious structures, you've got Vatican City, and then there's churches closer to home that are smaller.
Right. Or even just like the smaller, if you think about it, like the smaller chapels that wealthy families had a long time ago, like in Italy, that were actually a part of their homes. So they had their own sort of churches within their estates that they could go to. I'm thinking, what is the one artist that I loved? There's a small chapel in Italy. The artist escapes me, but there is a special style of painting called fresco, where it's done in plaster. No, it's not Michelangelo. It's
Raphael?
Not somebody. No, it's not. It's not one of the Ninja Turtles.
Well, the Ninja Turtles were named after Renaissance artists.
I know. I'm trying to think of it. It escapes me. But this was a small private chapel, but the artwork is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, that's what it kind of puts me in the mind of when we talk about these, you know, smaller sites that kind of show up.
Well, I mean, all that's fine and good. But, I mean, really, what we need to be asking ourselves is, what did the aliens plan for it?
What?
I mean, the aliens are the ones who helped build it. So what was their plan for it?
I mean,
maybe
they didn't.
Maybe
okay.
It's an...
or maybe they just didn't build it.
Here's my thoughts. It's not aliens. But humans are cyclical. And societies rise and fall. Inventions rise and fall. Romans had indoor plumbing and running water. Dark ages come, throwing our literal crap in the streets. And then, oh, hey, indoor plumbing discovered again. What's to say there weren't more advanced societies before our recorded history? Before Göbekli Tepe was built, the last other human species, which was Homo floresiensis, died off in 15,000 BC, which was only 3,000 years before this.
Yeah, only a cool 3,000.
But the thing is, humans, Homo sapiens, lived at the same time. Homo sapiens lived at the same time as Neanderthals, as Denisovians, as multiple other human species. So what's to say that some of those other human species weren't more advanced than our Neolithic human ancestors?
It was the Nordics.
The aliens, the Nordic
aliens. All right. I got to digress here for a second because this is driving me crazy. It was the Arena Chapel, and it was commissioned by a Paduan banker Enrico Scrivegni. But it was done by Giotto. That was the one that I was thinking of. It was a small chapel that was done on that he had where his palace was.
Alrighty.
So yeah. Sorry, right. That was driving me crazy. Had to chime that in.
No. It's all good. So thus far, Göbekli Tepe has left academics and archaeologists with more questions than answers. How a population large enough to construct and maintain Göbekli Tepe remains unknown, given the total absence of discovered signs of agricultural development. Moreover, scholars have still yet to determine the significance or meaning of the various depictions of animal sculptures and effigies present on stone pillars and benches within the site's deepest layers. Some have theorized that given the majority of those animals depicted are predators, they were meant to stave off evil spirits or held similarly pertinent spiritual importance. Which, that would make sense to me. I mean, I would expect them to pray to many gods, like, and the animals would possibly represent those deities.
Yeah, we really don't know what or how they worshipped. So yeah. You can speculate they could not have had the theory of gods yet.
Or maybe they just had them on the stone benches so they could, like, just pet it and make it feel better.
So there's actually an Ancient Aliens episode on the History Channel regarding Göbekli Tepe.
Oh, yes. And that is with everybody's favorite goofy-haired alien maniac.
Yes, I love Ancient Aliens. That's such a good show.
Is such a thing possible? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Anything's possible. Is it probable is the question we have to ask ourselves.
There I'm is, just going to go back is. To, we're about to find out. We're about to find out. So, no.
See, the aliens aren't at Area 51. They're at Area 52.
They've all been moved. Yeah, there's nothing there.
They're under the ocean.
I do enjoy that the Air Force has officially come out and said that we will, basically that we will shoot anybody who tries to get onto Area 51.
Well, I mean, it is a military installation. I mean,
that is true. We don't encourage people to try to storm Area 51 because I assume it's going to end badly.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you try to storm a military installation, nothing good can come from that. Like,
yeah, plus, listen, you've already announced your intentions. They've already moved the aliens.
Yeah, they've moved the aliens, yeah. And there's really nothing that cool there anyway.
Not to mention, Will Smith already showed you all everything that's there.
He did.
In Independence Day.
Oh, do you want to know something interesting about that? There is a time capsule that was buried related to Independence Day. Nobody knows what's in it.
Where?
It's in the desert somewhere.
Hmm.
What do you mean related to Independence Day?
Like props from the movie?
Related to the movie they buried a time capsule.
Let's dig it up.
Let's get some LIDAR going. Find it.
LIDAR.
Although I don't think that penetrates the ground. I think it just penetrates trees.
It is buried in Rachel, Nevada, and it is scheduled to be opened in 2050 AD. And it says, this time capsule will serve as a beacon to be opened in the year 2050 AD, by which time interplanetary travelers shall be regular guests of our planet Earth.
Do they really need to specify AD?
Yes.
First of all, if I went by what capabilities we should have according to Back to the Future, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen by 2050. Although
well,
I will
the Cubs
be 70
won the World
years
Series.
Old. Yeah.
The Cubs
I will
won the World Series.
I will be 70 years old, though, and I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah. I welcome our alien overlords with open arms.
Maybe they're already here. Maybe they're us.
Yeah.
It's definitely Carrie.
Oh,
maybe the aliens are coming from inside the house.
It's definitely.
Hey, I already know that I'm not 100% Homo sapien.
Yeah. Fucking weirdo.
Proven.
I'm half ghost.
Documented.
Half ghost.
I meant Neanderthal,
half
but.
Half alien.
Okay. As previously stated, less than 5% of Göbekli Tepe has been properly excavated and explored. Beyond geological surveys and carbon dating of already discovered stone, archaeologists such as Schmidt firmly believe in the preservation of the site, keeping what has been discovered protected and the rest undiscovered for future generations to explore more fully. As a result, the site has been labeled a UNESCO World Heritage Site, being dubbed the world's first temple. Plans for construction of a museum and archaeological park remain constantly in progress. In 2010, the Global Heritage Fund announced a conservation program partnering with the German Archaeological Institute, German Research Foundation, Sanilurfa, municipal government, and the Turkish Ministry of Tourism and Culture. Thus far, walkways have been constructed, and an overshelter is being built to safeguard the exposed archaeological features. The GHF has since promised to ensure Göbekli Tepe remains unmolested and safe for the world's enjoyment for generations to come.
Now,
to keep Epstein away from it.
Yeah. So is this, like my understanding or interpretation of that means that it'll never be properly excavated.
It will be. They're just waiting for advances to be made in archaeological testing, and then they'll excavate it further.
So like methods and practices that have less
scientific
chance to damage.
Less Probably. Of a chance to damage, scientific advances that can provide more information. If you just want to look at a site that's, you know, more recent, look at Jamestown. Jamestown, they first began excavating there 100 years
right.
ago, and, you know, things have wildly advanced since then.
Yeah, that was the first thing I was thinking of, because they have done so much work on that even just in the last 10 years and the things that they have found.
Yeah.
Well,
and the things that they're able to tell.
Right.
I still think that, like, when you look at what we have available for archaeologists now versus what we, like, you know, like, what, 10 years back, now they have the ability to scan a whole section of Earth to see if anything is there, if the Earth has been disturbed or anything like that. So that way they're not wasting their time being like, dig here. I didn't see anything. Go over here. Dig here. So they can
be
much more accurate with their digs.
Well, just imagine the technology we'll have in 2050 when we have interstellar travelers.
Well, I mean, the aliens will have already showed us everything we need to know. So.
Well, I really think that they're navigation markers for the aliens to come.
Well, either two things are going to happen. Either one, we are going to be, or already are, a tourist destination for aliens to visit, or the aliens are just going to enslave the human race.
Or robots are going to destroy us all, and by the time the aliens come, it'll be all machines.
Yeah,
we are them.
We are the aliens.
Well, to somebody, we're aliens.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this is definitely intriguing.
Yep, aliens.
I did not know that this existed. I think this is really cool.
I
found it super interesting ever since I first read about it in National Geographic. No.
So if we were to go to this area, could we actually go to it and see it? Or is it like cordoned off, so like you can't actually get to it.
You can go there. There's signs, you know, showing you where it is.
Looks like Turkey's
you can go there.
Turkey's got more to offer than Istanbul / Constantinople.
I want to see these quartz stones.
Yeah, I want to go
in Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I won't be able to go with you.
I think actually National Geographic Channel had a program on about them recently that I watched.
Can you imagine the safety bubble that cave is providing?
All of the negative
energy that's not allowed to penetrate that area.
I am 1,000 years old.
Yeah, I believe that.
You are 1,000 years old?
I'm 1,000 years old. Well, it's like I was watching a program on the National Geographic Channel and reading my Smithsonian magazine.
I watch the National Geographic Channel.
I mean, some days it's
that's a good channel.
Got some good shit.
My favorite channels to lay in bed and watch are the History Channel, the Science Channel, the National Geographic Channel.
Well,
yeah, National Geographic, BBC, and PBS.
Funded by people like you.
Indeed.
All right, everyone. Well, we have come to the end of our show this evening. Please let us know what you think about Göbekli Tepe. Please let us know what you think about aliens. Let us know if you're going to storm Area 51. I want to know so I can watch your Facebook, and I hope you live stream it. Anyway, we will see you next week, everyone, and that's all for me.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. Stay freaky and stay geeky.
See you next time.